Bob Tobias is director in key executive leadership programs at American University and former head of the National Treasury Employees Union. Bob, it is great to talk to you again. Happy New Year. This is interesting what you're writing about performance management. You write, the largest bang for the buck would be to increase the productivity of the 70% middle performers by 5% rather than eliminating the 5% of the workforce who are poor performers. Why do you think we focus so much on the poor performers at the expense of the people who are doing a good job and may be able to do a little bit better?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons, Francis. I'm not saying that you can ignore the poor performers, because when you ignore the poor performers, those who are in the middle see that they're doing the work of the poor performers. So you can't ignore the poor performers. But what I believe is true is that we're not stepping up and dealing promptly and effectively with poor performers in the federal government. Now, the statute makes very clear that it is, on the basis of the statute, it is not difficult to discharge federal employees. Now, myths have grown up about how difficult it is because of a lack of support for supervisors, a lack of support from the Office of General Counsel of some agencies. But on the basis of the statute, it is easy to discharge federal employees, particularly for performance. And if you have poor performers and you are ignoring them, or if you're involved in a long-drawn process to get rid of them, then you're ignoring the people who, with a small increase, can make you look terrific.
This is a concept that I first got turned onto by a guy named Marcus Buckingham. He's writes about workforce motivation and relational issues and those kinds of things. And he writes often about the concept that we focus a lot on the things that we or our teams, our staffs, are not good at, and not enough on the things that we're good at. And this is seems to me to be kind of an outgrowth of that. I, for example, will never be an NBA quality three-point shooter, no matter how much I practice and no matter how many lessons I take and no matter what I do. It's just not going to happen. And so focusing on a skill set that I'm only ever going to be mediocre at doesn't seem to be a wise use of time and resources. And it strikes me that that's what you're talking about here. Do what you have to, as you just mentioned a moment ago, to get the best out of the people who are going to be at your bottom performers, and dedicate some of your time and energy and resources to the people who can really demonstrate a willingness to take those resources and do something, give you a good return on investment on them.
Well, you know, everybody wants to know that they matter, to you as the supervisor. If I'm ignoring people, they start to think that they don't matter. The engagement that's necessary disappears, and people choose not to give what I describe as their discretionary energy to their boss to accomplish their boss's goals and objectives. And when that happens, you don't have poor performers, but you don't have the discretionary energy of the average and good performers.
Bob Tobias of American University is my guest. I'm heartened by the fact, Bob, that we are hearing, at least I am, more of a dialogue, more of a conversation about leadership in the federal government, what it looks like now and what it should look like in the foreseeable future. I don't know if it's driven by where we are in budgets or what is the cause of this, but I'm hearing more about what the federal government is doing to try to grow new leaders and whether it is effective in doing so now. And if not, how do we change that and become more effective at doing so? I think that's very encouraging.
Well, it is. It is very encouraging. And we know, there's an awful lot of data and studies that show that an engaged workforce is a workforce that will produce 15 to 20% more than an unengaged workforce. And there's also some interesting data that goes to the issue you just raised about, do I focus on what I do well or do I focus on what I don't do well, by a guy by the name of Jim Trinka, who's currently at the VA, who's been following a group of members of the senior executive service over about 4 or 5 years now. And every year they give him their SES evaluations and the results of a 360-degree survey that they take. He takes that data and tries to discover a number of things, but one thing he focused on was trying to discover the single most important thing that leads to an increase in a member of the SES's evaluation. And what he discovered was the more time the member of the SES spent on developing those they lead, the better the evaluation. Now, the irony is that most or many people in the SES say, I don't have time to engage in development. So the single most important activity that has an influence on an evaluation is not done because of a perceived lack of time to do it.
Yeah, and I guess you could take that data and make the argument that federal agencies, given where we are today, don't have time not to pay attention to that.
That is exactly right. Or insist that people in the SES, not just in the SES, I believe this is true at every level, because, Francis, if you're my boss and I'm and you're working hard to develop me, how hard am I going to work for you?